Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys,
I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate.
Arg, mateys. How's it going?
Arg.
Arg.
Feeling great. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Did you want to address your absence in any capacity or no?
I'm sorry I wasn't here.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what to say. Okay. I was in the hospital, guys.
Yeah, but we're good now. She's good now.
I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about how it was. So, okay. So, hey guys, we are in Savannah, Georgia today. Not literally. That is where today's story takes place.
Old Savannah.
Where, what does Andy say? It sounds like you have molasses coming out of your mouth. I'm so sorry to those in Georgia. I really like trying to do accents, but I'm also really bad at it. So pre-apologies for anybody that might offend, but I always like to attempt an accent. So the Pirate House is nestled in the heart of Savannah's historic district, and it stands as a testament to Georgia's rich colonial past and maritime legacy. So this structure, it definitely has like a weathered facade because it's been around for a very long time, over 250 years.
So it looks like an old ship?
I mean, like, but it's wooden. It looks like a rustic old beach house.
Okay.
It's got creaky floorboards. And it's been around since the 1700s. So yeah, it's pretty old. It started as a gardener's residence, and it was, and I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about that. And then it became a very notorious raucous tavern.
What does raucous mean?
Like rowdy.
Ah, okay.
And then finally, it's a now culinary landmark where you will find a lovely restaurant in Savannah's oldest building.
A restaurant.
Restaurant. I don't know where my mouth was going. My mouth gets confused when I start doing accents and then it forgets how to just
speak. Be normal.
Be normal. Because being normal is hard.
It is hard.
So the story of the Pirate House begins in 1733, shortly after General James Oglethorpe, hopefully I pronounced that correctly.
Oglethorpe
founded the colony of Georgia. So Oglethorpe, in his grand vision for this new settlement, established a 10-acre agricultural experiment known as the Trustees Garden. So it was modeled after London's Chelsea Physic Garden.
What's a physic?
Physic.
Oh, what is a physic garden?
I don't know.
Okay, moving on.
I don't know. I never even thought about it when I wrote it. So this project was aimed to cultivate a variety of crops that would reduce England's reliance on foreign imports. So it was going to be mulberry trees for silk production, cotton plants, medicinal herbs, and wine grapes because, you know, you have to have wine. That's super important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there was a lot of hope for this success here. Central to the horticultural endeavor was the Herb House, constructed in 1734. And this served as both a residence and a workspace for the gardener's caretaker. So today, the structure holds the distinction of being the oldest surviving building in Georgia because it's linked to the early colony days.
Got it.
So despite the optimism surrounding the Trustees Garden, the project struggled almost from the get-go. The mulberry trees faltered in Georgia's humid climate, and the silk production never materialized. So that was a flop. By the 1740s, the garden had been largely abandoned. So it lasted maybe about 6 years.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So its grand ambitions were never actually realized. Unrealized idea. Unrealized.
Unrealized.
Twister. So the experiment wasn't entirely in vain. The site's legacy lived on through the peach orchards and cotton fields that would later become staples to Georgia's agricultural economy. So it had something there. As the Trustees Garden faded into history, the area began to transition to residential use. So the Herb House, no longer needed for its original purpose, found a new life in 1753 when it was repurposed into an inn and a tavern. Its proximity to the Savannah River made it an ideal spot for sailors, merchants to gather and
began setting the stage for the next chapter of its very colorful history. So in 1753, Savannah had emerged as a bustling seaport, which coincided with the golden age of piracy in the Caribbean and along the Atlantic Ocean. And the Pirate House, as it came to be known, was originally called the Privateer's House, but it is known as the Pirate's House, or the Pirate House, I'm sorry.
All right.
And the reason why it's the Privateer's House and not the Pirate's House is because pirates were technically not welcome. I mean, they're like doing illegal things.
Yeah.
So sailors, privateers, and as local legends believe, pirates all frequented the establishment. So in case you don't know what a privateer is, it's basically like a legal pirate. They kind of get lumped in and people call them all pirates, but privateers have permission from the government to steal from enemy merchant ships.
Okay.
So we talk about like Jean Lafitte, like he was one of the very famous privateers, yeah. But like kind of a just a pirate.
Why would they call them a privateer? It's just a weird word.
I don't know. Well, because I think they're like privately contracted through the government.
Okay.
And they don't want to like, probably don't want to make it super well known because it's still, it's unsavory no matter how you frame it. Like, yeah, we legally allow them to go like take over Spanish ships or whatever. But yeah, that would just sound weird. So it's like private contracts.
Okay. That makes sense.
So the British Navy did not welcome pirates, which is why they wouldn't openly call it the Pirate House because they would be hunted down and chased out of town.
Okay.
And you wouldn't walk in and be like, hey, I'm Pirate Laney here for some rum. You would either just say you're a privateer or you're a sailor and no more questions.
Okay.
So, but the English and French privateers, just so they don't sound like stand-up gentlemen because they technically had permission, they were still pretty awful people, a lot of them. They had the blessing of the English government to raid enemy ships, kill the crew, and then sell the ship and give whatever portion to the English government. So we talked about him before in at least our first episode of the podcast when we did Stuart Mansion. Jean Lafitte, the Gulf's favorite privateer. He was a frequent patron of the private house. The private house. Oh my gosh. The pirate house.
It sounds dirty.
Yeah. So anyway, it didn't take long for the tavern's reputation to become known for the rowdiness and danger. And it was fueled by tales of nefarious activities taking place within its walls and beneath its floors.
Ooh.
So the first floor was for eating and drinking. Lots of drinking. The second floor was the inn where the men would often just lay their heads at night. It's believed that due to there being no FDA, right? The Food and Drug Administration back in the day. Men probably died at the Pirate House from alcohol poisoning or could have died due to some other trade related fate.
Okay.
So, because alcohol probably was not made in a super safe or sanitary way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most enduring legends surrounding the Pirate House involves the practice of Shanghaiing.
Ooh, what is that?
So they would force men. So just the definition of Shanghaiing is forcing men into naval service. But according to local lore, these sailors, privateers, and or pirates would come into the tavern for a drink. And next thing they knew, they were rendered incapacitated because their drinks had been drugged. And they were dragged through a network of tunnels under the tavern, which the tunnels are real and haunted, to be put on a ship that was docked at the river. And then when they woke up, they were several miles offshore. Man. And they were either forced to work on the ship or would be thrown overboard.
Okay.
So according to hauntedhouses.com, on one Savannah policeman suffered this fate at the Pirate House. So he's like not even a sailor. He's just
a policeman.
Yeah, he's just law enforcement. He went there to have a drink and then he woke up on a ship. He was shanghaied and it took 2 years for him to return.
That sucks so bad.
Yes. I would Can you imagine?
So upset.
Like you maybe just had a bad day at work. You went to the bar, just have a drink before you go home and you're chilled out and you freaking end up on a ship and it takes you 2 years to get home.
Yeah, that is absurd.
Yes. Like, does your wife, I mean, I don't know if he was married, but like, if can you imagine? Like,
no.
I can't imagine my husband just like disappearing for 2 years.
Me neither. That would be nuts.
And this isn't the days of like cell phones where you can just like send a text and be like, hey, I was kidnapped.
I'm on a boat.
It wasn't until 1811 that crew impressment or shanghaiing was officially punishable offense and illegal. But
thank God.
So it was legal through the 1700s when this was happening.
That sucks.
Yes. So the tunnels themselves are a source of both historical interest and a lot of supernatural speculation. So originally built to transport goods from the river to storage cellars, these underground passengers have long been associated. I said passengers. I meant to say passages. I can't talk. I feel like I say that in every episode, though, that I can't talk.
It's okay. People know you can't talk.
Even though I write it, I can't read what I write a lot of times. you know what it is? It's when you put a microphone in somebody's face and you feel a different kind of pressure to say things correctly, and then you just say it all wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry. So underground passages have long been associated with more nefarious purposes. So they are sealed off and inaccessible today, but they continue to fuel imaginations and ghost-like stories. And definitely some shit went down in the tunnels. So they are connected to the basement in the pirate's house. So the basement has a lot of strange activity.
Is there like water going into the basement? Like,
No.
Okay.
You have to walk to the tunnel to get to the riverbed area. Riverbed where the ships would have been docked. So one of the most famous legends associated with the pirate's house involves the fictional pirate Captain Flint from Robert Louis Stevenson's novel Treasure Island. So a lot of people may be familiar with that book. So according to the story, Flint died in an upstairs room of the tavern, uttering the last words, "Darby, bring aft the rum." Sorry, already sorry. While Stevenson's tale is fiction, his visit to Savannah in the 1880s and his incorporation of local lore into his novel have forever linked the pirate house with romanticizing the image of piracy. And there is a ghost at the pirate house that they refer to as Captain Flint. And so it was interesting because in my research, they would say like Captain Flint haunts this area. And I'm like, what the heck? That is a fictional character.
Yeah.
I really think that there is an apparition there and they've just named him Captain Flint because they don't know what to call him.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
He is one of the spectral residents of the pirate house.
Does he do anything?
So a couple of things. So like I said, not really him because he's fictional, but staff and visitors alike have reported encounters with apparitions of sailors. Lots of footsteps. And I can't imagine on the old creaky wood floors with like pirate boots, like they were probably pretty intense footsteps. And they hear that quite often.
Ugh, that's scary.
And then it's always the sensation of being watched. Mm-hmm. So the upstairs rooms were used as guest rooms at the time because that was the part that was the inn. And of course, the basement, possibly for, you know, imprisoning Shanghai men. So really the whole thing. So where the inn is, where potentially some people may have died of like alcohol poisoning, stuff like that. The inn has some paranormal activity that's definitely related to like the footsteps and stuff like that. And we'll go into that here. The basement, I think, has some of the more darker activity.
I would think so.
Yeah. So one frequently reported phenomenon involves the ghost of a sailor seen peering out of the upstairs window, his gaze fixed on the river where his ship once awaited. So others have described hearing clinking glasses and raucous laughter from the empty dining rooms. So it's like the spirit of long dead patrons just continue to drink and be merry in the afterlife.
It just sounds like it's always busy, even if there's no one in there.
Even if there's no one in there, yeah. It's like always activity going on.
That's creepy.
Yeah. Because I feel like you have like over 250 years of energy there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know. That's so fascinating to me. So the basement of the pirate house with its low ceilings, rough stone walls. So again, imagine this being built over 250 years ago is a pretty big hotspot for supernatural occurrences. So employees have reported feeling sudden cold spots, hearing their names called when no one is present, and witnessing objects move on their own. So some have even claimed to feel invisible hands grabbing at their clothes. And kind of sad, but perhaps in like a desperate attempt of the Shanghai souls to prevent them from sharing their fate. That's so sad. By the 20th century, the pirate's house had fallen into disrepair, just really a shadow and a shell of its former self and its rich history in danger of being lost to time. And its fate was sealed when Savannah's gas company acquired the property and did have intentions of demolition. However, in 1948, Mary, I'm not positive how to pronounce this, Hillier, H-I-L-L-Y-E-R, Hillier, the wife of the company's president, spearheaded a campaign to save and restore the historic structure. So her efforts not only preserved the original herb house, but transformed the entire complex into a restaurant, what we know today. And it's just really like a celebration and a testament to Savannah's maritime heritage.
Okay.
So today the Pirate's House comprises of 15 dining rooms, each steeped in history and nautical charm. So the original herb house now serves as a dining space. Its hand-honed beams and wide plank floors are a testament to the colonial colonial craftsmanship. So throughout the restaurant, visitors can see architectural features that hint to the past. So there's the Federal style fireplace, which if you don't know what that is, that's like the Revolutionary period. Like just imagine George Washington standing by a fireplace and you're probably picturing the right fireplace. It's like a pretty tall fireplace.
I like how you think I know what George Washington would stand in front of.
You don't have like an idea of when you think of that. Like you've seen like paintings and depictions of him.
I know. I don't keep that in my memory. So he can be in front of any fireplace to me.
Okay. Well, it's not a short fireplace. I mean, the fire, like the hearth.
Is it part as of tall it? As him?
Yeah. Like he could probably lean on the mantle, got you know, it. Comfortably, like with his arms propped up. Maybe it's like close to where his shoulders would be.
Okay.
So antique maps, nautical decor that would evoke the establishment's seafaring days. So the Pirate's House connection to the paranormal is as much of a part of its identity, though, as its historical significance. Fun. It's renowned. I know. I need to go there.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun little spot to go to.
Yes. I love.
I'm not scared at all.
I love today learning about pirates. I would not. This is not me saying I want to be a pirate or I want to run into a pirate.
Yeah.
And in case I had to have said this before, but I also really love pirate rock. And I was listening to pirate rock as I was writing this. Cause I was just, I'm like, come on, we got to get into a mode here.
Yeah.
So the Pirate House is Savannah's one of their most haunted locations. So with numerous reports of ghostly encounters over the years, patrons and staff alike have reported sightings of sailors. Like I said, the unexplained footsteps, glimpses of Captain Flint, quote unquote's ghost. So it was the late 90s. There were two paranormal fellas, Greg Prophet and Tony Cross, spent the night at the Pirate House to investigate its reputation. So once the restaurant closed for the evening, the men settled in to start investigating. A nod to the pirate lore, the men filled a shot glass with some rum and left it on the table. So just a little tribute to the pirate ghost, just like saying, hey, we come in peace.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take long before they started to hear the faint footsteps that they heard so much about. So they were the only two there. There were no staff there anymore. Everybody was gone. So this is what it sounded like was somebody was just pacing nearby, just going back and forth, and you can hear those footsteps.
Smelling the whiskey.
Smell the rum. They're pirates.
You said whiskey.
I'm pretty sure I said rum.
I felt whiskey. Maybe I just... Okay. Whiskey's my drink.
Sorry, if I said whiskey, I meant rum, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It's rum. So, like I said, they were the only two in the building. As time went on, the footsteps kept growing louder and louder and were getting closer to Prophet and Cross. Suddenly, there was banging on the walls circling around them. So something was definitely trying to get their attention. Next, there was a loud, aggressive knocking on the door of the bedroom that they were in. And Prophet called, "Who's there?" But there was no reply. So then they went to the door, probably hesitating a little bit, and the hallway was empty. So as they returned to their setup, the shot glass with the rum, not whiskey, began to literally just like dematerialize. So like it was going into the further, like it just started like going away.
The shot glass too?
Yeah, all wow. of it. And it was like literally the pirates were like, thank you, and taking it into the afterlife with them, which I thought was really interesting.
That is interesting.
So obviously the men were completely astonished. As the night went on, it was pretty much a repeat of those events, footsteps, knocking, banging, pacing, feeling like they were being watched until the sun rose, and then kind of all of those occurrences started to fade away. Other strange occurrences, children have often waved at windows of the Pirate House when adults cannot see what they're waving at. And they always say like they see somebody standing there that an adult cannot see.
That's creepy.
Visitors hear laughter from the second floor, coming from the second floor when there's nobody up there. Today, the upstairs is not used as an inn. It's used for storage. So there's rarely anybody up there. So hearing laughing is a little weird.
A little bit.
So like I said, the basement is one of the more active spots for paranormal activity. Since this is likely where its darkest history lies, this is where the tunnels were located and they're now sealed up. But this is where men would have been dragged to ships to end up into forced labor or to be thrown overboard, potentially hundreds of miles off the coast with like no chance of swimming back and surviving. So one former waitress who is unnamed, relatively new to the job at the Pirate House, had an encounter with a spirit in the basement.
Oh, gosh.
It's uncomfortable. So she went down there to retrieve some supplies. As she approached a dimly lit space in the basement, she had that sudden feeling of dread you always hear about, where like you know something's wrong, but you can't like physically see it just yet. Mm-hmm. She said the air was very thick and very cold. And she described this feeling as walking into a room full of angry people that did not want you to be there.
Oh, gosh.
That's scary.
Yeah, I would not want to be in that room.
Yeah. But she was intent on getting the supplies she needed, so she was just going to get it and then go. So while looking for supplies, she started to feel dizzy and nauseous. As she continued to move through the space, the feeling became more and more intense. So she started to feel a pressure on her chest as if something was like pushing her out of the space. And I think that's what's really started to freak her out. So she was determined to finish her task before going upstairs because she was almost done getting what she needed. But whatever she pissed off was not going to immediately let it go. So for weeks, she would come to work, not even entering the basement, and she would start to feel dizzy and nauseous just walking into the establishment.
Oh, that sucks. What a rude ghost.
Yes, it did not like her. So she finally confided in her coworkers about what had happened and then the feeling that she gets every time now that she comes to work. And they told her, because everyone that works there like knows of the hauntings, they told her that they believe that she did stir something up. Something that spirit did not like her. She pissed it off. So now she became aware of that. So one day she was cleaning in the upstairs dining room, which was just over the basement, when she heard faint whispers coming from underneath her feet.
Oh.
And then she froze and just was listening. The whispers grew louder and angrier, but kind of stayed unintelligible, so you couldn't really hear what they were saying. She ran out terrified, refusing to return to the dining area until another staff member was present. The last and final straw came when she walked past the basement and an invisible hand grabbed her wrist.
Okay, get a new job, girl.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. She does. She dropped everything, ran out of the restaurant in tears, and then she did quit, feeling that she did, in fact, anger the spirit, and it was specifically targeting her at this point. Yeah. So she was done because other people were not having those kinds of experiences. I think most people's experience is just hearing sounds, but nothing's like touching them. It's not.
What do you think she did to piss it off?
I think it was, my personal opinion, it was warning her to get out, and she wasn't getting out. Like, it was pushing her. She had the feeling she should leave, but didn't.
Yeah.
And so I think that just kind of set it off.
Man, it's easily angered ghost.
I know. So these ghost stories, blending with historical fact and local legends, have made the Pirate House a popular destination for paranormal enthusiasts. The tales of restless spirits and echoes of the past add that extra layer of intrigue to your dining experience. So you can really go and just really immerse yourself into all the history and folklore if you go to the Pirate House.
Do you know what kind of food they serve?
Yes, I actually have it in here because I was doing a little, not being asked by anybody, just a little promo to the restaurant.
Gotcha.
Since its reopening as a restaurant in 1953, it has become a corner store of tourism and a culinary scene. It features Southern classics and seafood dishes because, of course, it's like right there. And then they have
crab cake.
I bet they have crab cake. you can pull up their menu if you want to. They have pirate themed artifacts and lots of historical memorabilia. They do also offer historical tours.
Ooh, they have something called She Crab Soup.
Ooh.
It looks fancy. I want to eat here.
Tell me what else they have to eat.
They have fried calamari, Savannah crab dip, corn fritters, beef carpaccio. They have superfood salad and a Pirate's House salad, shrimp and grits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Parmesan tilapia with jumbo lump crab. Pirate's House award-winning honey pecan fried chicken. Jumbo lump crab cake and boiled shrimp. That's $32.95.
It may have been a mistake to read a menu. Because now I'm like, I'm so hungry. About to go drive to Galveston and hit up some seafood.
Shrimp gumbo. That sounds so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything sounds good.
Okay. Well, now that my mouth is fully watered. So, if you guys ever find yourself in Savannah, Georgia, definitely pay a visit to the Pirate House, which sounds like it has a bomb-ass menu. And it is going really on 300 years since it opened, so it's got lots of history. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And who doesn't love pirate history? So, here's a picture. Just drop my iPad.
And it shuts.
And it closes. It was probably a ghost being like, stop talking about us. Yeah, there it is. So, it's kind of got that old beachy vibe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That looks pretty.
Yeah.
I want to go there.
So that's the Pirate House.
That was really interesting.
Yeah. Kind of getting into that spring, summer weather, you know?
Yeah.
Like doing the beachy stories.
I like it.
So if y'all have any podcast requests, ideas, send them over to hauntedrepod@gmail.com. And if you haven't, go fonted. I was going to say followed, and I was already starting to say what to follow. Follow haunted.real.estate on the Instagram. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Glad to have Lanaye back.
I'm glad to be back. I wish you could talk.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Okay, well, that's it. And we're sticking to our two episodes so far. We're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
Bye.
Bye.